It's high time for What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation. Brought to you by thelevel.org.nz. Straight up drug info.
Yes, it's that time to talk about drugs. And we've got Sean in the studio. Morena.
Morena, team. Morena. How are we doing today?
Yeah, real good. How are you?
Fantastic. Bright and early. This is well before I'm usually up anyways. So.
Well, thank you for making the effort. We appreciate you being here. We've got a really interesting topic to dive into today. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your role at the Drug Foundation and what you do.
So, my name's Sean, program lead for a program called Rewired at the New Zealand Drug Foundation. So I look after pretty much everything queer, sex, but not rock and roll. A little bit of drug focus in there as well. So I look after essentially chemsex, party and play kind of support group. So what that looks like, I'll get into it proper later, but is people who are intentionally using drugs during sex, mostly methamphetamine and GHB, and very focused on like gay, bi and meno sex with men kind of communities and spaces there. So I do that, a whole bunch of whip force and advisory things, a little bit of political advocacy, just a lot of fun. Wear many hats.
Yeah, fascinating. And like a really important topic that potentially isn't as talked about within the drug space as people think it should be.
Not in the slightest. It is always a challenge getting services to talk about sex in particular. But that's not today's topic anyways. Today's topic is more around our broader kind of queer drug use, because I think that gives a really good background to it and a little bit about why we haven't maybe covered it and spoken about it so far. Is because we know that there are much higher rates of drug use within our queer communities. That's kind of held true across a lot of local, international data as well. We don't have a ton available here in Aotearoa, unfortunately, but Australia, our little cousins, I like to use them as kind of an example. They've had a study series called Private Lives that's been going on for just shy of 20 years now or so, looking at health and well-being stats for broader rainbow communities, LGBTQIA+. And that kind of consistently indicates that we're about 2 to 4 times higher than our kind of general population folks instead. So a decent amount sit above. And now there might be kind of differences within the communities there as well. So we might be, for example, looking at gay and bisexual men generally have higher rates across the board, but particular things like methamphetamine and GHB and G-type drugs are kind of like a little points that stand out more above. And for example, with trans communities and gender non-conforming communities, cannabis actually stands out well and truly above. So there's a really great set from the folks at Counting Ourselves, a community-led survey for our trans and non-binary populations and their health studies. That kind of showed around a 45% rate for our trans and non-binary communities using cannabis there. So like standing well and truly above our kind of usual like 15%-ish in the general pop. But noting outside of that, we actually have very little in New Zealand to kind of really talk to this topic in general. We don't have a lot of comparison studies. We don't have a lot of things that allow us to kind of paint a richer picture. And most of the studies to date, even internationally, have largely focused just on folks like me, gay, bi, and other MSM. So it paints a little bit of a warped picture. We're still trying to figure things out in this space.
Yeah, so there's a lot more research to be done. Do we know much about the reasoning why these rates are so much higher for particular drugs and such?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a wide range of historical and cultural factors that kind of play into this. Chief among them, for the most part, is at least here in Aotearoa, and I mean you'll find the same abroad as well, is homosexual law reform. We're celebrating the 40-year anniversary of that, but obviously homosexuality was criminalized before that point, which drives people really far underground. You're not really able to gather safely, you're not able to gather in a lot of more kind of standard spaces, and so what became more of a haven within that is our nightlife spaces. All of our nighttime economy, bars, clubs, etc., became the kind of underground meeting points for us. And with bars and clubs comes general alcohol use, comes broader drug use, etc. That kind of infuses how queer communities typically gather and meet and connect with one another with drug use in particular. So that paints a little bit of like a starting picture for it all. But there's also a lot of other factors and reasons behind it. There's been many, many theories put out. One that's most commonly kind of looked to and accepted is that of something like minority stress theory. So with being queer comes a greater rate of stigma, discrimination, judgment coming towards folks. And some scholars kind of posit that you essentially get these higher rates of drug use as a way of warding off that discrimination or coping with and processing, etc. That's one particular strand. Another that I always like to pivot towards as well is recognizing that it's actually a lot of fun. It's something we don't really talk about too much in the drug space and we might be a little bit afraid to delve into, but this is often a really connective and joyful time and activity. We were talking just earlier about the bars and nightlife spaces. Of course, that is generally seen as a really fun time to be involved in. So you've got, you know, the heights of disco or the rave movements of like the 70s and 80s and the kind of flow through to today with how it's kind of going with our independent music scenes and raven scenes and all the rest. And so it forms this kind of cultural nexus where people can be connecting, looking at kind of transforming the self in that way. All of these kind of factors play into it there. Not to mention there might be particular subcultures that kind of spring up around this. Like I was mentioning before, I deal with a lot of the kind of chemsets, party in place space, and in particular for men in that ilk, oftentimes it is seen as a way of breaking through a lot of barriers that they might be facing around being able to access queer community in those other ways, particularly if people have not necessarily come out yet or they're still grappling with and struggling with their sexuality there. That might be a way of reducing inhibitions enough to really relax and let down guards, as well as work through any kind of trauma from the AIDS crisis and HIV, etc., processing that and allowing themselves to actually feel free in themselves to be able to have the sex that they might want to have. There's, yeah, all of those kind of wide opportunities, cultures, circumstances that kind of factor into this.
Yeah, man. So, layers to this.
There's quite a bit in it, going into it. So with this kind of increased use in queer communities, is there specific support for drug use?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just mentioning Rewired before, which is my program. I'll give a little shout out to it, have to legally. So for example, that's something that's a very hyper-specific, tailored support. It's leaning into that energy of this is a niche form of use where people may not be able to really talk effectively to what they are doing and their genuine practices to a mainstream alcohol and drug service. They might not feel comfortable talking about sex in those spaces. They might not be actually really allowed to if things are in kind of a group supportive environment, fear of making others in the group uncomfortable or clinicians maybe not knowing how to handle it effectively. So we kind of created that space as a way to say, hey, you can bring your whole selves into this and talk about everything that might be impacting you all in one rather than having a segment out. So that's kind of like a gold standard view of you've got this particular subculture, you're developing a form of support responsive to it, and you're providing that in a bi community for community kind of lens. And we have more broader kinds of support available as well. So I'm involved in a weekly online SMART meeting. So SMART stands for Self-Management Recovery Training. It's a model kind of all around the globe, but we've been doing a lot of work with SMART Australia in particular to stand up more meetings here in Oz and NZ. And so that's specifically for our rainbow communities as well. Recognizing that while this is a general model, having a space that's specific to us, where it allows us to, again, bring our full selves, talk about things, and know that we can safely show up authentically, can allow people to get much more effective support and much more out of that story and discussion as well. As well as you've got some one-to-one situations as well. For example, I know Burnett Foundation Aotearoa and Rainbow Hub down in Waikato, for example, both provide one-on-one counselling in these spaces and have recently expanded their capabilities around alcohol and other drugs. As well as you've got places like CADS here in Auckland as well that has regular Rainbow groups too as part of their regular programming, and other mainstream services can support as well. I know, for example, Higher Ground is one that generally gets a much better rap around its Rainbow responsiveness.
Wow, there's heaps. Variety.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously a need for more in lots of these areas as well. If we've got, you know, queer whānau that are listening and looking for support, where would you say is the sort of first stop for them?
Ooh, first port of call, I would say, is if you're wanting to kind of just get a bit of a handle on things, have a bit of a moment of reflection, you're not too sure where to go or what to do or what you actually want to do, I would say jumping onto thelevel.org.nz, shout out to our staff standard with the Drug Foundation, but that has a wide directory of places available to you. You'll be able to see everything available. We'll be able to help direct you to what might be relevant in your area. For a lot of our queer whānau, a lot of the support is actually going to be available online instead. Major city centres typically have a bit more of a better go of it, because Auckland, Christchurch, Wellington have a lot more centres and spaces, but for a lot of our rural whānau, there is that significant divide there, which is really unfortunate. So online spaces might be the first port of call in those, so level.org.nz is going to be a great place for it, as well as Burnett Foundation, Rainbow Hub, Waikato, etc. all have great directories there and can point you towards affirming healthcare providers.
Yeah, awesome. Wow, I've learned a lot. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, we covered so much, and it's awesome mahi that you guys are doing, so Cheers. Keep up the good fight.
Super informative. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's a joy to be here, Dean.
Thanks. Awesome.
That was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation, brought to you by thelevel.org.nz. Straight up drug info.